Welcome back to another episode of The Lawyer You Know, and today we're going to break down cancel culture. I've got Pete Sardis coming on the show, and we're going to break down whether or not cancel culture is legal, and if it happens to you, do you actually have some legal recourse? Our answer may surprise you. So hopefully you guys learned something new during this episode. Hopefully you enjoy it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, so cancel culture. Pete, give just a brief definition of it. I think everybody that's listening to the show knows what it is, but just to kind of set the stage, what is cancel culture?
Cancel culture, the best way I can explain it is to say that you try to eliminate something that disagrees with a particular position that you are against.
Yeah, somebody gets ostracized or canceled, or you no longer buy their product, use them, hire them in any way, shape, or form. You basically try to ruin their life because of something they say or did in their past. I think that's the general definition of cancel culture. So when we talk about cancel culture, just the broad question, is it legal?
Cancel culture, for the most part, is legal unless there is something involved that either hurts someone or violates a criminal statute.
So when we talk about cancel culture, and we're trying to get this definition because definitions and words are important, as we always say. It's legal when private citizens choose to no longer purchase a specific good or service or watch or ingest some TV show, radio, song, book, whatever it may be, because they disagree with whatever it stands for. There is nothing illegal with that cancel culture. For example, what's happening right now is Dr. Seuss. People are saying they're not going to read his books anymore, and the publisher may not even publish them or print certain ones. People absolutely have the right to choose not to read Dr. Seuss books.
Yeah, and back in the day, we used to call that boycotting.
Right, exactly. And people have boycotted stuff for years for what companies stood for, where they donated their money, whatever it may be. But there are certain instances where it is illegal to cancel someone or something. And that's what we're going to get into. And to start the discussion, it really comes to employment law. And we're talking about private companies that if they cancel somebody or cancel a certain employee or type of employee, there could be some serious legal ramifications. And what that usually centers around is protected classes. So, Pete, what are the protected classes federally?
Federally protected classes are race, religion, creed, national origin, sexual orientation, and gender.
And disability and age. Yeah. Right. So, there are 7 protected classes. What you didn't hear him say was political affiliation, because that is not a federally protected class. Therefore, theoretically, you can fire someone for being part of a certain political party, right? So right now, that's legal. That's cancel culture to the nth degree. Companies selling goods and services have to bend a knee to cancel culture because they are trying to make money. And if the culture is telling you to cancel somebody, a lot of times these companies cave to the pressure and will fire someone. And we'll get into some celebrities and how that works with them. But just to start generally about companies, if they want to fire Republicans, theoretically they can. Now, there are some states like California, New York, and Washington, D.C., even though it's not a state, who actually have state laws saying that political party is a protected class. So there are a lot of states where you can't do this. But federally speaking, it's not a protected class. What do you think about that? Do you think political affiliation should be a protected class?
Wow, that's a deep question. The answer is, I don't know if it should be a protected class, but I definitely see a problem with hinging somebody's employment based on their political ideology.
I think it should be a protected class. I mean, I when you say protected class, I mean they just shouldn't be fired or treated. People should not be treated differently because of their political affiliation.
Right, but when you say make it a protected class, now there we're are talking more things about that yeah, go we're into talking it. Implications.
I get it, but I'm saying I think it should be a protected class for those reasons. And one of the main reasons is, and this now we'll get to where it does become illegal in cancel culture when dealing with employees in certain situations, is your political affiliation a lot of times has a lot of connection to your protected class, right? And that's one of the things that's happening in some of these cases that we'll talk about, is somebody's political affiliation is connected with their religion, their age, their race, their sex, or their sexual orientation. And that's really important to them, and that's a protected class. So that's why they're affiliated with a particular political party. So if they were to get fired or canceled, because of their political party, well, now it is connected to a protected class and it is illegal. So when we talk about that, one of the first things that come to mind for me is Colin Kaepernick. He took a knee because of racial injustice and he couldn't get a job in the NFL. He ends up getting cut, and for years and years, all these other quarterbacks that were, I have text chains with my friends talking about how horrible some of these quarterbacks that are making millions of dollars are, and Colin Kaepernick can't get a job. Now, did all the NFL owners get together and say we're not going to hire him? We don't know, but Colin Kaepernick filed a lawsuit saying that, and saying that he was discriminated against because of his political stance and his racial stance and his race, and he ended up getting a huge settlement because he was, quote-unquote, canceled. Now, a lot of people may not think of him as part of the cancel culture because a lot of the cancel culture is more Trump supporters and stuff like that getting canceled, but he was one of the first cancel culture victims, and they canceled him for taking a knee because it was bad for the flag or bad for the military or whatever it may be, and he suffered greatly for it, huge damages, and ended up filing a lawsuit and getting a big settlement because I think that his protected class race can be connected with some of his political beliefs. And I think that that had something to do with it. So even though it wasn't a protected class political beliefs, it is connected to things that are protected.
Well, yeah, because he took a knee for racial injustice. Right. That was the purpose of his protest, for lack of a different explanation for what he did.
So, right. So that's something that goes across the board, right, for all employment, that you can't fire somebody or cancel them because of a protected class or their connection to a protected class. When we talk about celebrities and another cancel culture event that's happening right now, Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor, took a leave, but was sent away because he asked for grace and forgiveness for one of the contestants on The Bachelor that went to a plantation party for as part of her sorority when she was in college years ago, right? And there's racial undertones with the type of part, the plantation party, obviously. So because of his comments, he said the woke police or something like to that effect, and he ended up having to take a leave of absence. So when you're talking about employees that are that high level, make that much money, and have obvious employment contracts, he's not an at-will, right-to-work employee, he gets canceled for that, right? So is that unlawful? Is that illegal to cancel him for saying something that he believes?
The question is it illegal? And as we sit here today, at least federally, it is not illegal. Are some of the states, for example, because I think they filmed The Bachelor in California, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know now.
Could it be a violation of California's law? Sure, it could be a violation of California's law.
Well, he didn't even say anything about his political party.
So, no, but what he did was he took a stance on a topic that is absolutely political. You know, antebellum type of activities are now frowned upon, when for generations it was something that, especially here in the South, colleges, universities, fraternities, sororities all, you know, took part in things like this. And it wasn't viewed poorly as it is today.
Yeah. So, see, I don't know. I think it's kind of weird because he didn't even take a political stance. He was just kind of for asking people to give her a little grace and just relax, kind of. He was trying to fight against cancel culture. So this is kind of what it looks like when you fight against cancel culture and you get the backlash and you get destroyed, like's happening to Chris Harrison. But what I want to mention now, legally speaking, is just about every contract that these celebrities and these big employees sign have clauses in them that say you will not do anything that shows as conduct unbecoming. You won't do anything that goes against the culture and beliefs of our company. You won't make us look bad. You won't say anything that's negative or whatever.
It's actually called the morality clause. That's what they used to call it.
So every contract has that, and it's very vague language that allows somebody like Chris Harrison to get canceled legally. He's not going to have a lot of legal recourse if he did violate this clause in the contract. And that's why they put it in there, to protect themselves as a private company, to bend their knee to cancel culture, because the people watching The Bachelor, you know, want this to happen. They want him to get punished for what he said. So ABC is saying, we are going to punish you. That's why we have this clause. You said something that's not very nice, or we don't like it, or it's racist, or whatever they want to call it. And so now they are going to cancel him because of that.
And let's be clear. The network could give a crap less about the actual political portions of it. What they care about is making money. So from their perspective, they're going to invoke their morality clause or their cancel culture clause whenever what somebody in their employ makes a comment or does something that potentially could impact their ability to make money.
Right, and it's just something embarrassing, offensive, or doesn't sit well with the company morals. That's what's in every contract. So that's an employee that has an employment contract and certain protections. He can't just be fired for no reason. There has to be a real reason. So they would say he violated that clause. Now, on the other hand, if you're an employee that's at will, which most employees are in Florida, you can be fired for no reason at all.
Right.
So if you do say something that's politically charged and your employer doesn't like it and they fire you, they don't have to give you a reason. And they can fire you for that reason and not say it and give some kind of pretext, like you showed up late one day, or I didn't like the way you talked to somebody, or you said something that offended me personally, therefore you're fired. And they don't even have to give you a reason at all in Florida. So that's even scarier. And that's even easier to be canceled as an employee. If you're on Facebook spouting off about your political beliefs and your employer doesn't like that, they can fire you and you'll never know for sure the reason, but it could be part of this whole cancel culture boom. You could lose your job as a result of cancel culture.
Sure. And let's be real, this is not something new. The particular topic may have changed, but the concept of checking people's social media is just as real today as it, you know, as checking people's, you know, a political affiliation, or do they, you know, are they a card-carrying member of this organization, of the NRA, for example, 50 years ago. I think corporations, and businesses have always been conscious of the people they hire, and they want those people to exude an image that is positive for what they believe is the right, you know, the right way to function.
So in circling back to Dr. Seuss and talking about how it's totally fine if private citizens don't want to buy his books anymore, okay, that's totally fine. People can make their own decisions and are free to, and that's part of what makes America great. But what about the publishing company? They are now choosing not to publish some of these books, not even to allow them to get out there. Is that something that's okay as part of cancel culture, in your opinion?
Well, is it okay legally? Yes, because technically the publisher owns the rights to produce that piece of literature. And if they don't want to produce that piece of literature, they have every right not to do it.
And this is exactly the same. This is akin to the big tech censorship. Mm-hmm. Big tech like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever, can shut my account down anytime they want. They can shut the president of the United States account down whenever they want, silence you, silence me, silence him, silence anybody, because they are private companies. They do not have to afford people their First Amendment rights or First Amendment protections because they are not governmental agencies. That is the same thing for publishing companies. That's the same thing for movie producers. That's the same thing because the Star Wars, or I don't even know, Mandalorian actress is now fired from that. Like, they have the right to make movies the way they want to make them and not make other movies. And the Dr. Seuss publishers can publish some books and not other books, because they're private companies and there's no federally protected First Amendment speech, right? So that's what I think is kind of happening, is they're censoring these Dr. Seuss books because they have the right and power to do so. Like you said, they own it.
But let's change the script for a second. Can they take those Dr. Seuss books out of the public library?
I don't think they have control over that, because once they're sold, I think they're gone.
Right, but the question is, can they request that those copies
be returned? I think public libraries could absolutely remove those books and say that they're racist undertones or just overtly racist and remove them for those reasons, for sure. And I think that's a process that could happen and something that could happen with cancel culture. Now, what hasn't happened yet is, are they going to take the step further and say, well, if Dr. Seuss wrote these books and with these pictures, should we just take out all of his books? Should he be canceled completely, not just the ones that we find problems with? And that's kind of the next step of cancel culture, is burning it to the ground. And usually as part of burning it to the ground, there is online and internet abuse and bullying of all kinds. So this comes from every direction. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a keyboard. Everybody's got an internet connection. So the online bullying that comes as part of it is just part and parcel with cancel culture. You don't have one without the other. When people just are destroying other people online for whatever it may be, let's say somebody's getting canceled and they're destroying that person that's getting canceled, the Bachelorette contestant, for example, just getting things thrown at her and she's just being abused online. Then you have Rachel Lindsay, who was a former Bachelorette, who was the one that interviewed Chris Harrison. When he said all that, people are blaming her for getting him canceled because she asked the questions and she kind of hated on him afterwards, or said, you know, what he said was wrong, and, you know, she kind of went after him a little bit. And now she's getting crucified online, and she's actually had to delete her Twitter and Facebook accounts. So it's just crazy on both sides. Everybody's trying to kill everybody online. What does that look like? Is that legal? Is online abuse and bullying legal? What is the threshold to make it illegal?
It depends. For Florida's purposes, we have a statute on bullying and harassment, and part of that statute is social exclusion. So if you engage in social exclusion and somehow there's a willful or malicious harassment that occurs by that exclusion, it becomes a crime. If you make a credible threat in connection with that exclusion, it's a felony.
Right. And credible threat is so hard because if you live in another state, it's not a credible threat. If you say, I'm going to come over your house and beat you up, but I live in Minnesota, it's not a credible threat.
No, but if it's your schoolmates and they say it.
It basically, it's rarely illegal. We'll just put it that way. It is a high threshold to get through. You can say and do just about anything online before it gets illegal, which is horrible, which will probably change at some point because of how it's getting. Now, what if part of this cancel culture, part of somebody saying something about you causes you to lose your job? I send somebody a text message and it says, Biden is the best or Trump is the best, and they share it with my boss and I get fired because of that. Is there any action there? Is there a libel or slander case there? What can you do?
Well, that's hard because libel and slander both require that there's an actual loss because of...
Well, not just that. You have to prove that it's untrue.
Yeah, it's the actual loss because of the statement, and the statement has to be untrue.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you can prove actual loss if your boss fires you after they see the text message, but where you're screwed is...
The text message actually happened.
You do like Biden or you do like Trump or whatever it may have been. That's actually a true statement. Therefore, there's no libel or slander. So there's not a lot of legal repercussion that you can have as part of this cancel culture, because a lot of it just has to do with private citizens making decisions with their own money and their own actions. The only thing you can protect a lot of times is your job. So if you are losing your job over it, look at what we've kind of talked about. Look into your state, see if they protect political affiliation, and see if there's some way that you can show that this political affiliation that you're getting fired for is actually connected to a protected class, if in your state it's not a protected class. Because people should not be losing their jobs over their political beliefs, over whether or not they support gun control, or whether or not they support the vaccine, or whether or not they support this president or that. Because if we lose that in America, we lose everything. We lose democracy. The cancel culture is just killing, and I'm not saying like racist stuff. I mean, obviously that, go ahead and cancel people that are racist. But I'm saying just canceling people for having differing beliefs is how you get to a situation you don't want to get, where government is in total control. And people always forget the Nazis were all in agreement with what they believed, right? They
were
all, and that's what the Star Wars girl said, is that Republicans are being treated like Nazis, or is treating like Jews, sorry,
right.
Which is not necessarily the case. I don't agree with that, but I'm just saying in that culture, that was racism, right? They were just killing people for being Jews, and but it got there. That's the thing, is people don't realize, like, it got there. It didn't start there, but people got this groupthink together and canceled everything else that didn't agree with what they thought. And I think we do have to be careful that on both sides of canceling the other side, because diversity in thought is important and diversity in beliefs is important. And that's kind of what makes America great.
Yeah, and I think you're right. There's not we don't all have to agree, but we have to be respectful of other people's beliefs. And,
right.
You know, our grandparents used to say, you don't talk politics, religion, and football in polite company, or sports in polite company. And I think that there was a purpose to that. It was to avoid those confrontations.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily agree with that either. I think we should be able to have the confrontations, talk it out, talk about what we think and why, and maybe we would come together to a more center point if we could actually have these discussions, versus somebody says one thing and you take the opportunity to burn them to the ground and cyberbully them and cancel them and take their livelihood away from them. That, to me, is just so extreme and crazy.
Scorched earth is not a good policy.
So let's go through. I have I have 10 of the most recent cancel culture items here, and I'm just going to mention them, and why don't we apply some of what we've talked about on the podcast today to see whether you think there's any legal action to be taken by the person that's been canceled. The first one is Mark Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow, and his company was basically destroyed and ostracized and boycotted and canceled because he said he was a supporter of President Trump. And he called into question some of the voter fraud that happened before. So
he's not actionable.
Yeah, he's been canceled. And one of the kids from, I can't remember what it was. Was it from the Miami shooting? I can't remember. Somebody that's been very politically active said he's going to start his own pillow company just to smash this pillow company. So yeah, I don't think it's actionable. If you don't want to buy MyPillow, you have the opportunity not to buy MyPillow and to buy your pillow or whatever the other one's called. Number two, Chris Harrison. We've already talked about this a lot. I think he could potentially make it actionable if he really does get fired. My guess is they'll just pay him. They'll just pay him to walk away, and you know, that'll be that, and there'll be some kind of settlement. But I think based on what he said, sticking up for Bachelorette contestants, which he's done in the past, if they really fire him and make him lose money over that, I think that is actionable because they're a private company. I mean, there's got to be some...
The money's big enough that it's worth at least filing a lawsuit.
Yeah, I think that one is potentially actionable. I don't know if he'll actually do anything because he has come out and apologized and said what he said was wrong. And, you know, he's trying to get back in the good graces, but we'll see.
Those are all great affirmative defenses.
Number three, J.K. Rowling, the famous author of Harry Potter, had backlash when she said that the push for transgender rights are endangering women's rights. And they're basically trying to cancel her. I don't think you can cancel her because there's so much Harry Potter love out there. But what do you think about that? Somebody, again, she's coming out with saying transgender rights are going to hurt women's rights, right?
Right.
Well, women's rights are protected. So again, these are private citizens making these decisions not to buy her books. So that's not actionable. But I think if she was fired for this, if she was an employee and she came out in support of women's rights because she is a woman, I think it would be actionable if they canceled her or fired her or didn't hire her because of that.
She's right, fits right in the mold. That's discrimination based on gender, yeah.
Right, yeah. So I think so too. All right, next is Adam Rubinstein, the New York Times opinion editor, who is actually not there anymore, because he wrote an article about troops being sent in to quell the civil unrest surrounding George Floyd. And basically, other people said his editors hung him out to dry because he wrote this piece, he put this piece out, then all of a sudden he's having to resign because he's been canceled for a piece that he wrote, which is his job.
That one's interesting because the question is, did the New York Times profit off of his piece? That very well might be actionable, but I don't think it's a protected class action.
Yeah, that's a weird one to me. I'm not really sure. The next one is Gina Carano. This is the Mandalorian actress that I said that Republicans are like Jews in Nazi Germany. Probably a little bit strong.
Yeah.
She is an actress. She got fired. They kicked her off Mandalorian. She's not acting there anymore. She's actually making movies now with Ben Shapiro, I guess, and the Daily Wire. We'll see how that goes. But do you think that's actionable, her being fired for that political statement?
Probably not.
Yeah, I guess not. It was just kind of a harsh statement for her to make. But if it was more about religious, if she was Jewish and she was saying something like that, like she was feeling persecuted because she was Jewish and kind of connected that to the political class, then I think potentially, but probably not as written. Next, we have Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, all of the Fox News people basically being canceled because, in fact, it is their job to only relate to and puff up half the country.
No, nothing better could have happened to their career.
Yeah, that's what they get paid for. Right. This is not actionable. They're just saying what they get paid to say. Okay, next. Matthew Iglesias, who is, and I'm just reading, this is from the Washington Post. The liberal opinion writer resigned from Vox, a publication he co-founded, because many of his quote-unquote woke colleagues found his articles too right of center. So he's since joined a different publication where he can speak more freely.
Yeah, I don't think that's actionable. Again, he might have some contract
issues.
It's just
so weird.
So this guy basically gets censored because he's not liberal enough. Okay.
It's just so weird to me. He's a liberal guy. Yeah. I don't know who this
Iglesias,
is.
Iglesias, Hispanic, yeah. Sounds by name.
I have no idea. I don't know who this guy is, but all I'm saying is the way they describe him is he's a liberal opinion writer who's not liberal enough, so he gets canceled and has to go somewhere else. This is the problem. Like, this is the stuff that gets weird is you have to fit into a box or you get canceled. That's the scary stuff. Coming to number eight on the list is Washington, Lincoln, and Jefferson. You've probably heard of them. They're former United States presidents who have been wiped. Their names have been wiped from schools in San Francisco and other states because of their quote-unquote ties to racism and their quote-unquote dishonorable legacies.
Let's just be clear.
Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is where we feel like we've lost our minds. Like, this is where I feel like I've lost my mind.
And you know
mind.
What's scary about this? What's scary about this is no matter whether you agree with George Washington or his policies in 1776 or not, those who don't know history are destined to repeat its shortcomings. So by canceling this stuff and not teaching children what happened 200 years ago, you're putting them in a position where they're not going to understand the history of anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to take it so down the road of like how we teach history, but just to pretend like all these men in our history were horrible people and should be crucified and not remembered because of the time in which they were alive, because that's the problem. Who knows what they're going to be saying 100 years from now? They could be calling all of us racist right now because of, you know, whatever. Or they could be calling all of us sexist or whatever it may be. Because of the world that we're living in, even if we're not having nothing to do with it, and we're actually trying to fix it and make it better, but it's like you live during these times, therefore you were this.
Let's
That's
be real.
The problem.
Abraham Lincoln was a radical. in his time.
Radical non-racist.
Absolutely. Right. The exact opposite.
Yeah, that's so crazy to me. Okay, next is Senator Josh Hawley, who he is the Missouri Republican who wrote the book, and the publisher dropped him, and all the publishers basically got together and said they're not going to publish his book because he said there was fraudulent votes. He voted against impeachment. He voted to not ratify the election, all that stuff. This to me seems akin to, if he was going, I'm assuming you're going to say not actionable.
Well, I don't know. That very well may be First Amendment protected, at which point I'd have to look.
But do private companies have to publish his book?
I don't know.
See, my thought would be, this kind of sounds like Colin Kaepernick. This kind of sounds like everybody getting together and refusing to do a service for this guy. I'm sure he can find a publication eventually that'll publish it. But if he could show that there are all these other books that are terrible getting published and making money, he could show that his less terrible book, if it is, I don't know, I've never read it, he could show his less terrible book would have made X amount of dollars, file suit against all these publishers and potentially collect like that. I don't really know. I do think this is bad business. I mean, everybody getting together, refusing to do things because they don't like the person. Yeah, that's antitrust stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the scary stuff when we get in the country and we let these people control. Right now, you may agree with them. That's the scary part. I agree with some of this stuff. So right now, you may agree with them. But when you don't agree with them, that's when it becomes really scary, because then they can still cancel stuff and just eliminate portions of thought. And rule in rooms full of people that think a certain way are just eliminated.
And let's not forget, in these times, we're talking about half the country. Well, it's a 50-50 split almost. Let's just say 40-60 split. That's a lot of people. And for a, you know, for a private company, I'm sure someone's going to publish this guy's book because they're going to make a fortune on it.
Yeah. And the last one is Goya Foods. He came out supporting Trump, saying he was a blessing for Hispanic Americans, how he lived the American dream and Trump helped that, things like that. They got crushed, lost 70% of sales, but then the backlash to the boycott and all the Trump supporters started buying, and they said they actually made more money than ever because of cancel culture. So this is just the great microcosm of cancel culture.
A lot of hate over canned beans.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that should show you part of why cancel culture is stupid. We had a split election where there was 75 plus million votes for each side, right?
Yep.
If you're going to cancel one of those sides, that's half the country. So when you try to cancel them, they're going to come together and unite and buy black beans from Goya.
Right.
It's like, what are we doing? Why can't we all work together towards something as opposed to fighting so hard to divide, and you're either with us or with them, for us or against us, and the cancel culture just gaslights that. And Trump and Biden both added to that. Biden may have said he wanted to unite the country, but he's doing everything the Democrats want to do. Trump just gaslighted the Republicans and tried to get them to fight and divide everything with the Democrats. That's not helpful. Dividing the country and all these, the Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity on the right and the left, all the talking heads gassed it up because they're all making more money. Yeah. They're all, the president has never been more famous than he is now. He's never been on more TVs than he is now. So it's just kind of, to me, I wish we could all, as the private citizens that get to make the decisions of where to spend our money, I wish we would stop this cancel culture stuff, because just like we said, we'll look at Goya. Did it work? Did all the people that wanted to boycott them and cancel them work? No. You wasted your time, your money, your thought, everything about it, just so that the other half of the country would buy more black beans. Right. It's like, come on, guys.
Same with my
what
pillow.
Are we doing?
How many people have bought pillows that don't need them to prove a point?
Probably. I have no idea. But the point is, it's like this just fighting against each other is wasting so much time, wasting so much energy, where it should be put in trying to do things together, trying to see how we can help each other, and trying to see how we can make America better, as opposed to making the talking heads better, making, you know, politicians, making big tech more money, not like they need it. But we should be doing more for the private citizens of our country so that we can come together and make things better for the next generation. So, cancel culture, in my opinion, horrible thing, bad thing. We need to cancel culture. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I think we've come to a point in this country where, you know, some talking head on one side or the other starts spewing off on something. And it's really funny. Actually, it's terrifying how quickly people can get inflamed over this stuff.
Yeah, it's social media. It spreads like wildfire. So let's try to stop it. Everybody listening to this, try to stop it. If you like this podcast, subscribe to our page. Subscribe to the podcast so you can get more of them. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time.